All right, well, welcome again to 2016 at Mount Air Christian Church. Amen.
Amen.
We are beginning. Right? We're beginning. Beginning a new year, beginning a new series of messages that will take us from Christmas through Epiphany and some of you may be beginning school soon. Right? I knew it. And some of us also have other beginnings, like diets, resolutions, right? This is that famous time of year when we start making our list. Oh, this year, you know? Oh, this year. This year I will, right? This year I will lose that 30 pounds. Last year was 20 pounds. And that's what New Year's do, right? New Year's lend themselves for us to consider new things anew. New beginnings. An opportunity to start. Or to restart. Right? It's like when you restart the computer, right? It's an opportunity to reset it, to start anew. And as we talked last year, the series that we were working on, sometimes the beginnings start in the middle of something. So basically that diet or that new resolution can start any time. It doesn't have to be the 1st of January. It can happen at any time during the year. But of course, we have that opportunity to put it on our list, right? Our text today comes from a very familiar section of Scripture, and this section of text, we preface the beginning of it with our alternate reading. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we had touched on that section last year during our series called The Fundamental Facts that we were going through in the fall. And at that time, we were focusing on the aspect of light. That the light came to the world, and how that light had been with God from the beginning. That special connection, that special relationship of God with Jesus. But today, we'll focus a little bit more on the identity, both of Jesus and ours. During Advent, we were looking at the prophet's text that spoke mysteriously. You know, whenever we talk about prophecy, we talk about mystery, right? Things that are said, but are not actualized immediately. It takes time, and all of a sudden, something happens and says, wait a minute, didn't so-and-so say, right? We were considering all those texts that were important for those who received Jesus as he was born. And it so happens that this week we are celebrating Epiphany. And I don't know about you guys, but when I was growing up in Puerto Rico, Christmas wasn't the day. It was Epiphany. That was the day. That was the day when we had the gifts. Christmas, yeah, we celebrated, we sang, we spent the night together as a family, we rejoiced, we ate. But Epiphany, that's when everybody was waiting for the gifts. That's where everybody was getting ready. And I remember going out to the yard and getting some grass out of the yard and put it in a shoebox, put it under the bed. And waiting, hoping that the next day when the three kings, you know, in our tradition, you know, the Magi would come about and their camels would be fed with that grass and they will leave us a little gift. And I think I've told you before that at some point I got tired of getting socks, so it wasn't that exciting anymore. But Epiphany, that time where the Magi came from the east, and they come to worship this baby Jesus who was going to be king, and they bring gifts to him. Now talk about identity. When there is a star in the sky that signals something, and people are able to figure out that that signal is really important, that something's really special is going to happen, and a star leads these men all the way from the east to come to Jerusalem seeking the king, and also to participate in the event of what we could call the event of a lifetime, something that wasn't going to happen again, because they were going to meet Jesus. And John alludes to the details of that identity in this text. Details that can be even embarrassing as we read them today. Just think about it. John says, he was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. Yet the world did not know him. Now think about that. Imagine the creator of everything that we see coming for a visit, and the world did not acknowledge him. You notice the statement and consider what we have just experienced even 2 weeks ago or so. We were celebrating Christmas, which is that commemoration of the Christ, the Messiah, coming to the world. And through that celebration, we hear more of the talks of sales and the marketing pitches that are thrown at us left and right. Everything is happening but Christ. It seems like we just need to buy that new version of the computer, the Windows 10, the OS, whatever it is now with Apple, or that iPhone 25. That's where we're right now. Is 25 version or what? No, 6, 7? You see, the celebration of Christ has become more of a holiday. Holiday. Happy holidays. Happy holidays. You see, the politically correct thing is to celebrate whatever except the Christ. The focus of that season has become more of, okay, what am I going to do during Christmas? What am I going to do? What am I going to get? What am I going to buy? And I don't know about you, but it seems to me that today, even when the Savior is in our midst, the world still doesn't know him. 2,000 years. Quite a lot of progress have we made, right? It doesn't seem like there's much movement. We're in the same spot. The Creator of the world comes to us. And still, we don't acknowledge him. There was a time when we could really sing Noche de Paz, right? Silent night. I don't know about you. Your traditions may be different than ours, but we used to gather the people, the family together, and almost at midnight, we would sing Noche de Paz. Silent night. A night where there was not a lot of things happening, but a few people got the news. Jesus is born. But here in the States, it might be different. Any caroling anymore? Does anybody do caroling anymore? What is caroling, right? It's like something has been lost. It's been completely gone. In Puerto Rico, we don't do it anymore because it's dangerous. But there's many reasons. Something has happened. The season has changed. What was used to be a time of being together and enjoying that sense of awe of our Savior's birth has changed. So that Christmas celebration has become something else. And every effort in our culture is to sort of dissipate it, to change the purpose, to become something different, to change the meaning of the celebration. We have now Kwanzaa and I don't know how many other things, right? That we'd rather celebrate, but not Jesus. So you see, the identity of Emmanuel is still escaping us. How have we gotten here? How have we arrived at this place? He was in the world, but the world did not know him. See, many times I've wondered, what would happen if Jesus just showed up in your house? What would happen? What would happen if Jesus knocked at your door? What would happen if he would just pass by? And maybe honk the horn, you know, and said hi. What would we do? What would be our reaction? Hey man, that looks like Jesus, right? Or something, I don't know. I wonder what would happen if Jesus would come. Would we feel like the Messiah is around? Or we would just be, what in the world's going on? Who is this guy? I don't know, you recall the experience that the disciples had on the way to Emmaus? Some of you may remember, right? After Jesus' death, these guys are down and they're talking to each other. All of a sudden, this person shows up and starts walking with them and starts sharing with them, and they start talking. And when they get to the other, to Emmaus, they sort of see something in this man, and it finally dawns on him. And they testify, were not our hearts burning within us as he was talking to us on the road while he was opening the scriptures to us? Wasn't there something in here saying, he is the one, he is the one? And here we're completely out of tune with what was going on. You see, maybe that is the experience that we have of grabbing Christ's presence. It's a burning in our hearts. John Wesley, the famous preacher who started the Methodist movement, when he was testifying about his conversion, he expressed the same words. It was like a burning of the heart. Well, let me just insert this at this junction. He is actually here with us. Christ is here. His presence is here. And his word says that to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God. Thank you, Scott. That was the spot. Amen. Yes. To all who received them. So you see, there is an action that has to take place on our behalf. There is something that we must do. But of course, those who receive them and believe, you might say, okay, well, what in the world does that mean? To receive and to believe. Well, here's how I see it. You see that there were magi from the East who recognized a Savior child. And what did they use for their guide? I don't know. Maybe it was the newspaper that told them, right? That there was this event that's going to happen. Well, no, it wasn't the newspaper. There was something written somewhere. Well, they read that a star was going to show up. And I don't know if you've ever heard this verse, but it comes from Numbers 24:17, and it says, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel. You see, and what they saw, a supernatural occurrence in the heavens, a star that rose and that led them to this place. Like the column of smoke and the column of fire led the Israelites in the desert. Do you remember that? Right? Yeah. These things led them into places that they didn't know. Where so they were these guys led. And that star set it all over the city. And the fact is that it was an epiphany for them. You know what epiphany is, right? Revelation. It was a revelation for them. And that revelation led them to the King of the Jews, a scepter which rose out of Israel. Now, there are other stories, not only the Magi, but there was the shepherds, and we talked about the shepherds in Luke. You know the old story in Christmas and all that. They also saw something supernatural, something out of this world. An angel comes and makes an announcement, and all of a sudden there's a choir. Thousands. Okay, now tell me, what would you do if that happened to you? What would you do? Okay. It seems like I totally lost you at this moment. Because if it was me, I'd be freaked out. I'd be totally freaked out. Imagine an angel. Angels. Hello? Angels. Right? I'd be totally out of it. I don't know what I would do. And maybe this is what's got to happen in our lives. Maybe something out of this world has to happen. Something completely supernatural, right? So that we may know, okay, well, this is strange. Maybe there's something here. So we have one event, the Magi, they get to see something supernatural. Now, these shepherds, they get to see something supernatural. And then as we know, and we've read in the Gospels, Jesus experiences, provides experiences to a bunch of people who he touched and healed. Now, that's somewhat supernatural, right? Somewhat. I bet you that the people who were healed had an experience. Maybe you remember the centurion that was at the foot of the cross when Jesus dies, and he says, surely this was the Son of God, right? He must have experienced something supernatural, something out of this world, something that must have told him, hey, there is something here. And even the apostles on the way to Emmaus, again, that burning, wasn't our heart burning? Weren't our hearts burning? Wasn't there something there? You see, all these points to experiences that solidified that identity of Jesus as God, as the Christ. Supernatural experiences. And maybe the problem is that today we don't have supernatural experiences. Well, Lord, if you do something magnificent, maybe I will believe. This is not in my text. I'm going to insert something and I'll be finished in 2 more minutes, but please hear me. I know a lot of folks that have come across the desert to enter this country. Yes, illegally. And I tell you something. When they're going across that desert, everybody becomes a Christian. I tell you, after 2 days in the sun, without having water, you start looking at supernatural stuff. But it doesn't mean that everybody that crosses that desert stays a Christian. Desperation does something to us. And it makes us think that we need something supernatural, someone to handle what we cannot see, to handle what is out completely of our control. Then you start believing, God, if you do this for me, God, if you help me through this one. That happened to me once when I was surfing. I was 40 minutes out in the water and the tide kept pushing me out. And guess what? I got to the point where I was tired. And man, I said, God, if you would help me. It's one of these hurricane seasons, you know. And I thought that I was a great swimmer. And it so happens that there's one wave. I had been 40 minutes trying to catch a wave. This one wave just comes along and carries me right to the beach. Now, you might think that that is somewhat fantastic of a story, but it was real. And when I found myself on the shore, I looked back. And in my head I was saying, is this for real? Experience, human experience, has to be something that we personally connect with. We can hear all the stories, but unless we face this one God, and unless we have that experience of this Jesus, we may not know. So it all points to that one experience that solidifies that recognition of who Jesus is, God, Christ. Now, in the experiences of all these people, there was an opportunity for them to identify who this Jesus was. And Scripture says that when we can do that, we have the power to become children of God. And people of the Word are people who own that identity. People of the Word are people who have read it, have gained the knowledge, but then have made a judgment on that knowledge. Perhaps they've gone through an experience and determined something happened in my life. And as we do that, revelation from heaven enters our life. And when revelation from heaven, epiphany, enters our life, something has to happen. Something happens. Maybe our heart burns. But that's where faith is created. That's where the rubber hits the road. We experience the supernatural. We experience what God is about. Now that is a mystery. It is mysterious. Because I can't explain it. I cannot explain to you how in the world, after 40 minutes, 45 minutes or whatever it was that I was out there, and the waves were pushing in a different direction, this one wave carried me through. I cannot explain that to you. All I can say is that here I am. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen His glory, and the glory as of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. From His fullness we have all received grace upon grace. So we are people of the Word. We are people of the Son, because we have received His grace and known His truth. Right? Amen. Sounds good. Amen. Now the question is that enough? Is that enough for me just to miraculously know Christ and know that there is something more out there? To me, it's just the beginning. It's just the beginning. As we start 2016, remember, it's just the beginning. And beginnings can start in the middle of something. In the middle of our lives, we can have revelation. In the middle of our lives, we can have an experience with God. In the middle, even of our journey with Christ, we can experience the supernatural and solidify that which has already been revealed in us. It's just the beginning. Let us pray. Lord, I pray in Christ that as we begin this year, we may remember who You are. May remember that You are the Christ, and that we may remember that we are Your people, and we may remember that You had the power to come to this world and enter our experience. Now we may remember that because of that we have the power to be Your children. Now what we make out of that is for us to find out. And I pray, God, that You may lead us, that You may continue to work with us, that You continue to teach us, to show us the truth, so that we may be fitting instruments in your hands for your purposes and for your mission. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.